Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, we're going to continue our conversation about the Me Too movement and sexual harassment today. But first, we have two announcements.
Oh, you're sneaking this in on me.
I'm sneaking this in because I meant to mention it on a previous podcast this week, but the topic has been so serious, but I really wanted to make sure that I took a moment to mention that we had a very nice new review on iTunes. It's by, and I love the her username. Her username is My Crazy Life with Boys.
Right. Guess what that's about, right?
but she wrote a very nice review. She wrote, I love listening to the Mental Breakdown podcast because they offer a wide variety of topics. Also, being the mother of two boys, one having ADHD, I love the information that is provided because it helps me learn how to better support their emotional growth and development. Being a parent is tough, but the podcast gives real-life strategies on how to make it a little easier. Thank you, Dr. Byrne and Dr. Marshall, for taking time to do these podcasts or to produce these episodes. Thank you so much. That is such a great... I would like to take that and just kind of put that up on a
put it in our office. Put it in the waiting room.
Yes, print it out and put it on the back wall or something. Right. That was a very nice review.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much for those kind words.
Those kinds of reviews are so helpful. Right. But the second announcement is that we have another patron through patreon.com/themental breakdown. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for your support. We're getting on our way to being able to do some of the other things that we want to do. Mm-hmm. We're working to put some of this to effect right away, as soon as we can. So if you have that opportunity and the means, patreon.com/themental breakdown. The link is in the show notes. If you want to offer any support, that would be very, very groovy. So,
right. Yep. All right. Give us time.
But yes, just wanted to mention those things because we meant to earlier this week. So, but today we're going to shift from sort of the historical conversations and bring things up to current.
Right.
But now talk about prevention.
That's right. Because what do we do about it?
Yeah, right. You know, the issue that we see is that there are education programs in place. There are different things that are sort of established to try to prevent or reduce or get rid of sexual harassment, but the sad fact is it's not been very effective.
No.
And, you know, something that I was fascinated by is there was I was listening to an NPR podcast last week, and they were talking about how the Me Too movement has moved its way to Washington, D.C. and into Congress, and there's been a lot more conversations about some of this. And fascinatingly, they said, so they're working to create some new policies so that if something like this happens, then there's a process for the victims to go through. How can it be that there isn't a process already, A?
No.
B, part of the new processes is that if a person has been accused of harassment, and that person wants to fight or wants to settle or anything like that, the new policy says you have to pay that out of your own money.
That's right. You have to hire an attorney. Right.
Historically, the taxpayers have paid for that.
Right. Right.
Just let that marinate a moment. If a politician previously had been accused of and engaged in harassment.
And was sued. And had to pay financial damages.
That could have been paid in the not distant past. Right.
I mean, in the past few months. Yeah, in 2017.
Yeah, last year.
Taxpayers were paying for the bribes or the fines of elected officials.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's unsettling. So let's talk a little bit then about prevention.
As a transition, yesterday we talked about even we, when we were growing up,
right.
And for me, that was a long time ago, much longer than for you.
I didn't say anything.
I know, but it's that look. And when we were growing up, we just internalized this notion that mm-hmm. girls were objects. We call them girls. The right. girls were objects. This was before Title IX. Okay, there weren't even girls. Girls were cheerleaders.
Right.
There was no. When I was in school, there was no such thing as girls' sports.
And cheerleading was not seen as a sport.
No. They were supporting the boys.
Right.
They were supporters. They were right. cheerleaders. Okay. And, you know, I vowed that my daughters would never be cheerleaders, that they would be the athletes, not right. the cheerleaders. Okay. Well, then Title IX came along and things mm-hmm. began to change. But we internalized all that.
Right.
That has to change.
Right.
The notion that, and it hasn't changed yet.
Right. Not yet.
My daughters are college age. One just graduated, one just entered. I can tell you from their experiences, girls are still objects
right.
on college campuses.
Right.
I'm sorry to say that, but they are, mm-hmm. especially when alcohol and drugs are involved.
Right.
They are still seen as right. weekend enjoyment.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so we're going to pull, much of what we're going to talk about pulls from this Washington Post article
right.
From November of last year, entitled "Preventing Sexual Harassment Needs to Begin in
yeah.
Early Childhood." And it addresses exactly what you were just talking about, the fact that many times, most often probably, these ideals, these perspectives, these views, these
points of view
mm-hmm.
that we grew up with
begin in childhood.
That's
they,
right.
they are rooted in childhood.
That's where mine came from. You just grew up in it.
Mm-hmm.
It was just part of your, it was like in the air.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So part of the prevention program has to begin with early education,
right.
early information, and it has to change in the way that we're communicating these things to children.
And the reason is because if boys bring these attitudes to college where there are no or fewer restrictions
right.
and it's fueled by alcohol,
mm-hmm.
of course it's going to play out on college campuses.
Right.
Okay, well, how would it not?
Why would
okay.
it? Mm-hmm.
And so whatever we do, we have to do before you get to college.
Right.
When we'll get into this later, but when my daughter was in college, they sort of looked after each other.
Right.
Well, that's fine, but it's not sufficient
right.
because you still have this alcohol-fueled frenzy, sexual
right.
frenzy occurring 3 or 4 or 5 nights a week.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so one of the things that the article points out is that, you know, many people see this is a problem for women. You know, women, they are the victims. Even if we see them, even if the person acknowledges that the women are the victims,
mm-hmm.
They tend to see it as that's the problem that they have.
And that they have to solve.
And that they have to solve.
How do women solve right. this problem?
The reality is that this is a problem for everyone.
This is a man problem.
Right.
This is a problem of our making.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's an issue for men in a variety of ways. It's an issue for women
right.
in a variety of ways. And so it's not going to be solved. It's not going to be reduced or prevented by just addressing one or the other.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. We have to address the entirety of the problem.
That's right. So number one, it has to begin in childhood because
right.
you can't bring these values mm-hmm. to adulthood. Okay,
right.
they have to be. We have to get this message into very young children.
Right.
Okay, and the second thing is we have to talk to boys and to girls.
Right.
This isn't just a problem for girls to learn how to protect themselves. They shouldn't have to protect them.
Right.
My daughters should not have to feel that they need to take martial arts. They shouldn't have to.
Right.
It shouldn't be necessary
right.
that they solve the problem.
Right.
This is also a boy problem.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No one tells boys that, you know, to protect yourself, you really need to take martial arts or you need to learn how to fight or, you know,
right.
do these things. We don't do that.
There's no need to.
But we do that with our girls.
But we think of protecting our girls.
Right.
And we shouldn't have to.
Right.
Okay.
So it is a problem that affects everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to educate, we have to inform, we have to spark change in everyone.
You know, I hadn't thought about it. I have two boys and two girls.
Mm-hmm.
the boys are older. When they went to college, I never thought about their safety.
Right.
When my girls went to college, it was the single thing I did think about.
Right.
I worried about their mm-hmm. safety mm-hmm. when they went on a college campus. We shouldn't have to. What women are telling us today, what the mm-hmm. Me Too movement is telling us, what the women's movement right. told us back in the 60s, is women shouldn't, fathers shouldn't have to think about the safety of their daughters.
Right.
Okay, but we do.
Well, shouldn't have to think about it any different than they would about their sons.
Than they would about the sons.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it is absolutely a pervasive problem. Mm-hmm. And we do have to, and I like the way that the article talks about some specific strategies
right.
for addressing this with men and males in general.
Yes.
You know, right. the idea of teaching boys and, mm-hmm. and young men what relationships are, right. what, you know, how to handle these types of relationships and engagements and, mm-hmm. and interactions with right. other people, and what is appropriate and what's not appropriate. And sometimes you need very, very direct instruction.
Right.
You know, this is not appropriate.
Yeah, that's not cool.
That is not a good thing to be doing.
This is not, no, we're not going to do this.
Right.
This is not a good thing to do.
Right. So there are, and it mentions several programs, one right. of which is Coaching Boys into Men, for example. Mm-hmm. It mentions right. that specific program that looks to educate and to help men recognize their role mm-hmm. in some of these things.
Yeah, we have to start teaching men. We have to start teaching men. I mean, we have these religious beliefs
right.
still. We still have those.
Yeah.
And they're contributing to this sexism.
Right.
I'm sorry. They are contributing to the sexism. As long as men think they're superior, believe that they're superior to women, women automatically become objects.
Well, and I think, you know, and I'm a little bit torn, I have to say, when it comes to some of the ways in which we some of the media that we are exposed to, some of the programs mm-hmm. and things like that. You mentioned Mad Men, for example.
Right.
I haven't watched it, but I understand that it's a good show. A lot of people like it, highly acclaimed, all that kind of stuff. But as long as we're watching that and saying, man, these guys are cool.
Yeah. This was cool. These are the good old days
yeah.
that we hear so much about.
Yeah. That, you know, and I am... And the reason I think that that's so difficult for me is because I am not one to say that media causes any of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
the right. things that are popular in media because...
They're popular out here. Right?
Because of the way that we generally believe and
right.
the things that we think about and all that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. It's not like the media implants
no.
these... values.
Hugh Hefner didn't create it.
No, he exploited it.
He recognized and
yeah.
and exploited it.
Yeah, but
it was already there.
Right. So you know, again, I don't believe that programs like Mad right. Men started this problem or created right. this problem in any way, shape, or form. Right. However, the conversations that should be had is, hey, we're watching this program, and
right.
I don't know that kids should be watching Mad Men anyways, or that children would even find Mad Men entertaining.
Right.
But
they shouldn't.
If your teen or young adult is watching it with you, it might be good to say, man, things were different back then.
Right.
You really...
And not in a good way.
Right. We right. know now that you shouldn't talk or treat somebody like that.
Right.
You know, implanting the idea that, okay, that... was a time period where mm-hmm. those kinds of things, not that they were acceptable, but that's what happened then.
That was the world that people lived in. Mm-hmm.
But today things are very different.
Right, right.
And it has to be that, again, kind of going back to direct instruction.
Right.
This is cool, this is not cool, this is the way we handle these right. things, this is the way we don't handle those things.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So when we think about what's next, you know, where things are going from here, I think it's really critical that we're starting early
mm-hmm.
In development
right.
with our children
right.
to make sure that they know there are things that we can do as we, you know, everything else is responsive.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
we're responding to things that happen,
right.
and that's been traditionally the way that we've handled it.
Right.
Me Too is a response.
Right.
It's not.
To a wrong,
right,
you know,
right. It's not yet proactive. We're going to talk about that a little bit on Friday, but it is a reaction to things that have happened, an important reaction, a critical reaction, but it is a reaction nonetheless. Right. And in and of itself, that's not going to stop anything.
That's right.
We have to take that next step of inciting change by talking about it, by writing about it, and by saying we've had enough of this.
And we have to change boys' attitudes.
Right.
I mean, if we don't change, because this article begins with ineffective programs,
right.
And they mention three.
Right.
One is any program designed to decrease risk.
Right.
The other is self-defense programs.
Right.
And the third is watching out for each other. When
right.
when my daughter would go to parties at college, somebody would always
right.
stay sober, not just to drive,
right.
but to make sure everybody left.
Right.
Okay, because we've all read about the stories
right.
of girls getting left behind. Well, all of those programs are designed, they're all given to women to solve the problem.
Right.
Okay. And that's not the problem. That's the problem isn't women.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is men exploiting women.
Right.
And so the solution has something to do with men.
Right.
Okay. And we have to start dealing with men, and we have to start dealing with men when they're children.
Right.
When they're little kids.
Right.
And they have to get these messages. They have to begin to internalize very different kinds
right.
of messages than you and I internalized, because
mm-hmm.
we internalized the ethic at the time.
Right.
That ethic has to change.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. That's it for today. We're going to talk a little bit about maybe a more reactionary approach tomorrow.
Right.
Because we got to talk about, you know, so how do we, what do we do? What do we treat? How do we get, how do we work through some of these issues?
You know, you and I have take full responsibility for what we didn't know and for our
mm-hmm.
mistakes and all that. But I have to say, full disclosure here, I'm not well aware of the program that President Obama and Vice President
right.
Biden started called
right.
It's on Us.
In 2014, right?
What happened? Why was that not more widely?
I don't know.
I mean, I have to confess, I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
And I think of myself as a person who sort of keeps up on these things.
Right.
But again,
and that
why
was
didn't we hear about it?
And that was to get bystanders involved.
That's right. The idea
yeah.
that you have to intervene.
If you see something,
right.
do say something.
And I keep thinking about 13 reasons, you
right.
know, that
mm-hmm.
nobody says anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We just let it go and we let it go. But I didn't even know that that program existed.
Right.
And why didn't we know about it? Why didn't it reach the light of day? Why didn't it reach, you know, 50
yeah.
million
K-12 yeah.
students.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so
yeah, it's
so the but now that was in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
So now in 2017, this movement has started. So maybe we can go back,
yeah,
resurrect that and implement it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's it. Then until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning.